Silo 18. 7. The argument with Shirley about the generator went badly. Juliet got her way, but she didn't emerge feeling victorious. She watched her old friend stomp off and tried to imagine being in her place. It had only been a couple of months since her husband, Mark, had died. Juliet had been a wreck for a solid year after losing George, and now some mayor was telling the head of mechanical that they were taking the backup generator, stealing it, leaving the silo at the whim of a mechanical failure. One tooth snaps off one gear, and all the levels descend into darkness. All the pumps fall quiet until it can be fixed. Juliet didn't need to hear Shirley argue the points. She could well enough name them herself. Now she stood alone in a dim hallway, her friend's footsteps fading to silence, wondering what in the world she was doing. Even those around her were losing their trust. And why? For a promise? Or was she just being stubborn? She scratched her arm, one of the scars beneath her coveralls itching, and remembered speaking with her father after almost 20 years of hard-headed avoidance. Neither of them had admitted how dumb they'd been, but it hung in the room like a family quilt. Here was their failing, the source of their drive to accomplish much in life, and also the cause of the damage they so often left behind, this injurious pride. Juliet turned and let herself back into the generator room. A clanging racket along the far wall reminded her of more unbalanced days. The sound of digging was not unlike the warped generator of her past, young and hot and dangerous. Work was already underway on the backup generator. Dawson and his team had the exhaust coupling separated. Raff worked one of the large nuts in the forward mount with a massive wrench, separating the generator from its ancient mooring. Juliet realized she was really doing this. Shirley had every right to be pissed off. She crossed the room and stepped through one of the holes in the wall, ducked her head under the rebar, and found Bobby at the rear of the great digger, scratching his beard. Bobby was a boulder of a man. He wore his hair long and in the tight braids miners enjoyed, and his charcoal skin hid the efforts of dark digging. He was in every way his friend Raff's antithesis. Hyla, his daughter, and also his shadow, stood quietly at his elbow.
"How goes it?" Juliet asked.
"How goes it? Or how goes this machine?" Bobby turned and studied her a moment. "I'll tell you how this rusted bucket goes. She's not one for turning, not like you need. She's aimed straight as a rod, not meant to be guided at all."
Juliet greeted Hyla and sized up the progress on the digger. The machine was cleaning up well, was in remarkable shape. She placed a hand on Bobby's arm.
"She'll steer," she assured him. "We'll place iron wedges along the wall here on the right-hand side."
She pointed to the place. Overhead floodlights from the mines illuminated the dark rock. "When the back end presses on these wedges, it'll force the front to the side."
With one hand representing the digger, she pushed on her wrist with the other, cocking her hand to show how it would maneuver.
Bobby reluctantly grumbled his agreement.
"It'll be slow going, but that might work."
He unfolded a sheet of fine paper, a schematic of all the silos, and studied the path Juliet had drawn. She had stolen the layout from Lucas's hidden office, and her proposed dig traced an arc from silo 18 to silo 17, generator room to generator room.
"We'll have to wedge it downward as well," Bobby told her. "She's on an incline, like she's itching to go up."
"That's fine. What's the word on the bracing?"
Hyla studied the two adults and twisted a charcoal in one hand, held her slate in the other. Bobby glanced up at the ceiling and frowned.
"Eric's not so keen on lending what he's got. He says he can spare girders enough for 1,000 yards. I told him you'd be wanting 5 or 10 times that."
"We'll have to pull some out of the mines then."
Juliet nodded to Hyla and her slate, suggesting she write that down.
"You mean to start wars down here, do you?"
Bobby tugged on his beard, clearly agitated. Hyla stopped scratching on the slate and looked from one of her superiors to the other, not sure what to do.
"I'll talk to Eric," she told Bobby. "When I promise him the pile of steel girders we'll find in the other silo, he'll cave."
Bobby lifted an eyebrow.
"Bad choice of words."
He laughed nervously, while Juliet gestured to his daughter.
"We'll need 36 beams and 72 risers," she said.
Hyla glanced guiltily at Bobby before jotting this down.
"If this thing moves, it's going to make a lot of dirt," Bobby said. "Hauling the tailings from here to the crusher down in the mines, it's going to make a mess and take as many men as the digging."
The thought of the crushing room, where tailings were ground to powder and vented to the exhaust manifold, stirred painful memories. Juliet aimed her flashlight at Bobby's feet, trying not to think of the past.
"We won't be expelling the tailings," she told him. "Shaft 6 is almost directly below us. If we dig straight down, we hit it."
"You mean to fill number 6? Bobby asked, incredulous.
6 is nearly tapped out anyway. And we double our ore the moment we reach this other silo.
Eric's gonna blow a gasket. You aren't forgetting anybody, are you?"
Juliet studied her old friend. "Forgetting anybody?"
"Anyone you're neglecting to piss off?"
Juliet ignored the jab and turned to Hyla. "Make a note to Courtney. I want the backup generator fully serviced before it's brought in. There won't be room to pull the heads and check the seals once it's fitted in here. The ceiling will be too low." Bobby followed as Juliet continued her inspection of the digger.
"You'll be here to look after that, won't you?" he asked. "You'll be here to couple the genset to this monster, right?"
She shook her head. "Afraid not. Dawson will be in charge of that. Lucas is right. I need to go up and make the rounds."
"Bullshit," Bobby said. "What's this about, Jules? I've never seen you leave a project in half like this, not even if it meant working 3 shifts."
Juliet turned and gave Hyla that look that all children and shadows know to mean their ears aren't welcome. Hyla stayed back while the 2 old friends continued on. "My being down here is causing unrest," Juliet told Bobby, her voice quiet and swallowed by the vastness of the machine around them. "Lucas did the right thing to come get me." She shot the old miner a cold look. "And I'll beat you senseless if that gets back to him."
He laughed and showed his palms. "You don't have to tell me. I'm married."
Juliet nodded. "It's best you all dig while I'm elsewhere. If I'm to be a distraction, then let me be a distraction." They reached the end of a void that the backup generator would soon fill. It was so clever, this arrangement, keeping the delicate engine out where it would be used and serviced. The rest of the digger was just steel and grinding teeth, gears packed tight with grease.
"These friends of yours," Bobby said, "they're worth all this?"
"They are." Juliet studied her old friend. "But this isn't just for them. This is for us, too."
Bobby chewed on his beard. "I don't follow," he said, after a pause.
"We need to prove this works," she said. "This is only the beginning." Bobby narrowed his eyes at her.
"Well, if it ain't the beginning of one thing," he said, "I would hazard to say it spells the end of another."